I alone am left. So God makes all kinds of people, all kinds of different personalities, all kinds of different folks. God made me as a doer. I am one of those people who likes to make a list and then get that list done. Or actually, to be more specific and even self-critical, I like to make a list for what I need to do at work. I like to make a list for what I do at home. I like to make a list for what I want to do with the kids. I make a list for all sorts of people in all sorts of situations. And then I like to tick off as much as I can on those lists. It's how God made me. It's who I am. I used to take mission trips, a whole bunch of mission trips when I was a youth leader, but specifically I took multiple mission trips to South Dakota to a group called Pine Ridge Reservation, the Lakota and Dakota people, that is the Sioux, as they are called broadly. And I would go up there and I would have lists to do with them as well. Of course, things that I would want to get done. We would usually do a vacation Bible school. We would repair a church. We would do all sorts of different things. And as the Lakota are wont to do, they gave me a nickname. They called me Walks By. That is, he can't walk by without doing something. I'm still not sure, some 15 years later, if that was a compliment or a crack. And I think it's probably a whole lot of both, actually. That's how they tend to work up there. That's how God makes me, as one who likes to get things done and take care of all of this. But there are those times that we also have to realize a whole lot more. Elijah today is realizing that whole lot more. We miss some of the best parts of this story as we get to what's going on today. I'm going to go back just a little bit and explain what happened in the chapter before this, because it's one of the great stories of Scripture. And to understand today's story, you have to understand last time's story, and that is Elijah has anointed Ahab king of Israel. Sounds pretty good. And then he chose to marry a woman named Jezebel. And even if you're an Episcopalian, you probably know the name Jezebel, right? You've got that down, if nothing else. Jezebel was the wife of Ahab, and she was a worshiper of Baal. And the reason she's particularly terrible is because she was trying to lead all of Israel from worshiping God to worshiping Baal. And so she had the prophets and priests of Israel killed, and she tried to set up all new shrines to Baal all throughout the kingdom. And so only Elijah was left. And Elijah came up with a challenge. He said, you know what? I tell you what, I'm going to make a challenge here before all the people of Israel. We'll have a contest. On one side will be God, and the other side will be Baal. We'll do the same thing. We'll cut up a cow. We'll put pieces on an altar, and whoever can call flame down from the heavens, well, that'll be proof that that is truly the real God. And the prophets of Baal agree, and Elijah agrees, and so they have the great day of the contest. First, Elijah says, well, go ahead. We'll let the prophets of Baal go first. So they set up a wonderful shrine, they set up wood, they put the cow parts on there, and then they call down this fire. They call and pray and dance, and nothing happens. It starts about 9 in the morning, and about 10 o'clock, nothing happens. About 11 o'clock, nothing happens. About noon, still nothing has happened. 3 or 4 hours of chanting and dancing and cheering and doing all they can to call down fire. And Elijah being, well, Elijah, starts to taunt them and says, well, maybe you should yell louder. Maybe your God is asleep or taking a nap. Maybe he wandered off to another heaven and you need to bring him back. No fire ever comes. And so Elijah says, well, now it's my turn. And so Elijah, being, if nothing else, a consummate showman, he sets up an altar. He sets up 12 stones for the 12 tribes of Israel. He puts wood on the altar. He puts the cow on the altar, then he digs a ditch around the altar, about 2 feet deep, all the way around it. And then he says, I need your help, and he calls for people to come from the crowd to help him, and they pour 60 gallons of water on the altar, on the wood, on everything. Everything is soaked. And he said, that's not good enough. Give me another 60 gallons. And then that's not good enough. Give me another 60 gallons. And 3 or 4 times, they keep pouring these unbelievable amounts of water, so much so that even the ditch is filled with water, 2 feet deep. And then Elijah prays a very simple prayer. God, show that you are truly God. Bring down fire and consume these elements. And so fire comes down from heaven. Whoosh. Everything is burned up. It is so hot that even the water in the ditch has dried up. And all of Israel rejoices because they are reminded that, again, God is their God. And then because Elijah has an interesting streak in him, he then said, now kill all the prophets of Baal. And so all of Israel goes over and kills the 400 prophets of Baal as well. That's what's happened in the chapter before. That's all the things that have happened. You have this magnificent moment of clarity and judgment where God has proven that God is God. Well, news gets to Jezebel, and she's none too pleased, and so that's where our chapter begins today. Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you, Elijah. You killed my prophets, now I'm going to kill you. And Elijah freaks out, and he runs away, and he throws a temper tantrum. That's what it is. Or maybe it's sort of like those Snickers commercials. You don't know who you are when you're hungry. He's so hangry. He's hungry and angry that he's just throwing a fit. No one's left, God. No one loves me. I might as well die. I didn't even do anything. I am the only one left. Now, God has a choice at this point, right? He can get mad and say, get over it, Elijah. Get up and go back to work. Or the God of the Sabbath can say, oh, you look tired. How about a snack? Take a rest. We almost need to say that again, don't we? It's okay. Here's a snack. Take a rest. God recognizes that Elijah's been pushing hard. He recognizes that he's worked almost past endurance. And instead of getting mad and saying, I need you to do more, God says, no, it's time to take a break and it's okay to rest. He is the God of Sabbath, after all. He takes a rest, he has a snack, and then God says, go ahead, take another rest. And he takes another rest, and he gives him another cake, bakes him a nice cake, and then he travels to Mount Horeb, which, if you don't know this, that's okay. Mount Horeb is another name for Sinai. He goes to Sinai to connect again with God. He takes not just time apart and to rest, but then he literally goes on a pilgrimage so that he can sit and be with God. And it's there that the great moment happens where God comes by, not in the fire, not in the earthquake, but in the whirlwind. And not in the whirlwind, but in the silence. But this is where these things, we mess up. I don't know who chooses the lectionary all the time, but they tend to mess it up a lot of times. This is no exception. They end with a statement that makes it sound one way. Now get up and go. God says, hey, it's okay. I am God. Now go back to work. Elijah, I know you're all alone. That's his great complaint. I am the only one left, God. I need something. God, at least in the text, the way it ends seems to say, well, that's fine, but go back to work. But that's not where it ends. There's two more verses they should have added, because the next verse is, go back to Galilee, and you're going to anoint a new king of Israel to replace Ahab, and you're going to anoint a new king for Judah, and you are also going to get some help. How about you go and anoint Elisha as your successor, and you won't have to do this alone anymore. So God doesn't just give him a break and feed him. God also then says, here's some help, and here's some people to help you on your way. Or, let's say it differently, God is the God of Sabbath. God is the God who loves us and cares for us and knows that we need rest. In fact, one of the most seminal decrees that we have is to take every seventh day and rest. God reinforces that and says, rest. And I'll give you help so that you can rest more and have a better balance. Now, the oversimplified reading of this is to say, be sure to take a rest. That's not actually what God's saying completely. I would argue when Sabbath, what we're really supposed to do on Sabbath is absolutely to take time apart and stop being busy and stop just coming up with another to-do list. More, it's to remember that God's in control. And no matter our to-do lists, God's got it covered. I don't know about you, but that's the hardest part of being a Christian I have to do sometimes. is to remember that it's not all up to me, or that I'm not all alone. In fact, the real call of Sabbath, of what we're called to be about on this day, is not just to sit at home and be quiet and take a nap. That's a good plan. God's for that. But even more, it's to remember that God's in charge. To remember our place in the universe, which is we're not alone. We have friends to help us, and God's got it covered. The invitation, I would say, this day that Elijah reminds us of, and God even more, is to take Sabbath, take rest, take time, and renew yourself. And then remember that God's ultimately the one in charge. God is the one who has it all covered. Remember, we're not alone, and God has us.